My name is Pastor Mike. I want to welcome you to this service. Something I love about what we celebrated last week was this year, we considered the darkest day in history, and leading up to that was our sin. And so the cost of sin was Jesus on the cross. And you can't get to the greatest day in history, which is Easter, which is what we celebrated last week, without the darkest day, but it's a progression to what is the culmination of all history, and that is that Jesus rose from the grave. Amen? Yeah, that's right. So we celebrated that last week, but I love the week after too. It's not just because I can take off my J's, which I wore last week, which I don't know if you knew, but J doesn't stand for Jordan, it stands for Jesus. And so I had my Jesus shoes on last week. Those are Michael Jordans, if you were wondering. And I got to put on these shoes because the whiteness of these shoes reflects the greatness of God coming out of the grave. And he left the white clothes in there, and he just walked on out because death couldn't hold him. He's like, I'm going to put you in the ground, death, forever. And that's what Jesus did. And now we get to consider together, how do we move forward after the greatest day? It's not enough to just stay in that day. We wish we could. I wish I could have stayed on the mountaintops in Denver. That would have been awesome. But no, God calls me down to serve him, to love him, to work out what it looks like to carry out the Great Commission, which is what that video ended with, Matthew 28. Go, therefore, in light of everything I've done, you have a mission now. And that's why we're here today. That's why we gather together to figure out how do we do that better. And so that introduces what we're calling our Saturate series. Saturate is all about spending time saturating ourselves in who God is. And we have two emphases for this year. But saturate, I want to give you another definition. We've considered, what does saturate mean? Well, today, if you'll see the next slide, is about being fully satisfied, to satiate, to fill yourself up with something and to find satisfaction in that thing. And that's what saturate is really all about. And so today we're going to consider one of our two emphases for 2021. And those emphases are prayer and God's word. And so we're going to take a deeper dive, and we're going to discover a little bit more about prayer. We're going to deepen our understanding and our awareness of it, and then we're just going to start doing it together. And so we launched this year with hearing from God. And it's true, God speaks to us. If we never know God speaking to us, then we're never going to have an opportunity to hear him, to listen. And so we're learning how to lean in, but it can't stop there. Just like there's a day after Easter, there's another day after we learn that God speaks to us, and that's hearing from him and then talking back. And so the name of our conversation today is Talk Back. God speaks, we hear, do we talk back to him? It's so important. And so I want to invite my brother, Pastor Rich, on up here. And the only person I share a bed with most of the time is my wife, Liz. She's going to come on up too. And we're going to have a conversation about prayer. Give it up for both of those people. And enter in today as we have this conversation about how God has led us in prayer and in the conversations we have with him. Hey, guys.
Hey, just got to get situated around the table here.
Yeah, it's just a conversation, right? I just lost my mic back.
Conversation with 100 people listening in.
Yeah.
We didn't practice this part.
That's not true. We did. It just went better than... I didn't have my mic on. That was
we didn't practice opening the bottles of water and everything else. But.
All right, let's start with you, Rich. You are the elder statesman. That's the nicest way I can put that.
It's better than you've put it before.
You're welcome,
but
Deb.
That's right.
Practice was a little more gruesome, too. Yeah. Why don't you start with talking about your prayer journey with the Lord?
Yeah, it's been a long one. It was 41 years ago last week. Mm. It was Easter morning in 1980. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My family and I pretty much went every week to a Lutheran church. So I did have an awareness of God, and I did have an understanding of prayer, and I did pray at times intentionally. But it wasn't until I became a believer that I really kind of understood that prayer was something I needed to do on a regular basis, and it was a, kind of a critical part of my faith. So I began to build my prayer life. But despite the fact that I was praying almost daily during that time as I was growing, my relationship with God wasn't really deep. It was kind of shallow, just kind of surface level. I didn't really know him well. But even without that fact of being close to him, prayer was still an integral part of my walk. I still grew, and God still spoke to me, and I spoke to him. And there were certainly definitely seasons in my life when that was a struggle. With work and five kids, and at one point I was in grad school with five kids and working full-time. I'd love to say that my prayer life was like spot on, but it wasn't. I'd be up early in the morning studying, late at night studying, and sometimes when I go to pray, I'd fall asleep. But I had built that consistency with God through all that time. And it was about 20 years ago that I get up early.
You're a morning person.
I'm a morning person. Most of you guys who work with me know that because you get an email at 3.
In the morning, not after.
You like to pray with music. It's got to be quiet. So I get up, it'd be dark, and I'm praying in my living room. Are my prayers even leaving the room? I just did not feel a connection. So I knew that something had to change. And as Erica just said, God doesn't change, so it had to be me. So I decided to do something different. And I didn't know what, so I asked God, you know, what do I do differently? So I started with that ACTS acronym. I know it's kind of basic. You know, it says adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So I started there. Except I determined that, like, for the first month, I'm not going to go past T. So I just spent time worshiping him, praising him, thanking him, confessing to him. And I do that for, like, an hour every day.
Wow.
And I did that for, like, a month. Didn't ask for a thing. What I got to the point was I'm praising him, and I'm realizing he is the God of the universe. He is the creator. He created everything with just a word. But then I also reminded myself that he knows me, he loves me, and he cares about everything about my life. And that made an immediate connection. Mm-hmm. I now had this, because he loves me so much, I know he's listening. So that started that journey of that intimacy with him, and for the next 20 years, it's done nothing but grow.
That's awesome. 20 years is a long time, though. So why do you think it took so long to get to that place of intimacy?
Well, I'm guessing most of it comes down to selfishness. I mean, like I said, we have a growing family. We had five kids. We were in school. We probably went to, you know, we had three different houses. You know, we kind of moving and going to different churches and different ministries at church. And it pretty much was probably all about me and us and my family. And I just kind of neglected that.
So those are good things, like working to provide, bringing up five kids, so on and so forth. So how do you rectify that?
They are good things, but they got in the way of my intimacy with God. And again, I said I had a good prayer time, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough having that real closeness.
Yeah.
And I grew during that time, but the last 20 has been like boom, up
wow.
like that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, thanks for sharing. Liz, can you share a little bit about your journey in prayer?
Yeah. So I really started taking Jesus seriously when I was in college, and I grew up in church, and I knew I was supposed to pray and read my Bible, and I did those things off and on, but something really shifted when my desire to grow in understanding who God was and loving him and living for him and being surrounded by other Christian women who were doing the same thing really just really impacted me greatly, especially in my prayer life. So I started regularly waking up early. I'm also a morning person, so that was the best time for me. And I began reading my Bible and then, like, writing out prayers to God.
So how is that, those things that you just described, how's that impacted your relationship with God?
Yeah, so kind of like Rich said, my relationship with God grew exponentially after that point. And obviously there were seasons that I did better or not, you know, and I didn't wake up as early or write out all my prayers every time. And if some of you don't know, I have 3 kids, 3 and under. So those seasons of having newborns and not sleeping very much have definitely looked different over the last couple of years. But every time I kind of determined to come back to, I'm going to make time for Jesus in the morning for me in the morning. And I'm always better off. I realize I'm the one missing out. And really being connected to God is the best thing for me. Mm. And the best way that I found to be connected to God is through prayer. So. Mm.
What about you, brother? What's your been journey like?
So I'm not a morning person. You're welcome for everyone who's out there who's like, man, I can't relate to them. those are late night people that will. I do wake up early in the morning though, because it's important to me. I just don't do it as naturally as I would like. So I grew up in a Christian home, going to a church, good church. My parents loved me. They loved the Lord more than they loved me. And that was great. But I heard about prayer. I don't remember being taught on it. I probably was. But I was like, yeah, it's something I should do. But I never really committed to it. And I never understood the value of prayer for my personal relationship with Jesus or for building his kingdom. Those things are integral for doing what he calls us to do, is keeping a connection with him. And I remember hearing Ken Rudolph, if you recognize that name. He spoke at my college a couple times, but the one time he talked about his prayer life, and I was so astounded that of the intimacy he had with the Lord and the way that he could track the Lord's answers to his prayers. I was like, I want that, but I still didn't prioritize it. So nothing really changed in me. I just, okay, it can be done. There is something there, but nothing changed too much after that. And I didn't prioritize it, and I suffered personally, because you can know Jesus, but if you're not connected to him, the power he promises his kids isn't going to be realized in your life. And that was my story. I knew Jesus, and I was growing in love with Jesus. I was following him. I was doing everything I knew how to do, but I did not have the power that the New Testament talks about in my life. And part of that was because I did not make time to connect with him. Yeah, I read the Bible every day. I would, you know, crisis, I would throw up prayers and stuff, but it was not an ongoing relational connection. And it wasn't until some of the hardships of seminary and the jobs I had then, and having a kid and losing my dad and getting married and all those things that happened in this one season of life that I was awakened to my own need for the Lord. And he used that, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, but honestly, God's been growing me in my intimacy with him since moving to Grace, but especially since stepping up into the role that I'm in right now. The intimacy factor of the Lord has just, magnified is what I was gonna say. It's just increased exponentially, and now this relationship with Jesus is really sweet.
That intimacy comes from need, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. You step into a position you weren't prepared for, and all of a sudden it's like, where do I turn to?
Yeah.
And to him is the best place.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So we learn stuff from stories. So do you have Liz, do you have a prayer story that you could share with us that might help us?
Maybe, hopefully. when I was preparing for this question, I was thinking about all the times that I asked God to help me grow in humility and patience, and all the people that he brought into my life to help me with that. That felt really hard at the time. But I have a really cool story about, I went to a conference in 2012, and I heard a speaker share about him praying that God would wake him up in the middle of the night to pray, and I was really curious about that. I had never heard of that or tried it or anything, so I was kind of skeptical, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try it. Like, why not? What do I have to lose, you know? So that night, I was in the hotel room we stayed at for the conference, and I prayed right before I fell asleep. I said, God, like, I know you could wake me up because, like, you're powerful and I get it. And I kind of believe that you could. So, like, show me. Like, do it. And he did. And he did the next three consecutive nights after that, too, which was so cool. And when I got up, I went into the bathroom of our hotel room and I just kneeled on the floor and I didn't even have words to pray. Like, I asked him to wake me up to pray. But all I could do is, like, thank him for answering my prayer. Like, I was so awestruck about it. Yeah.
So what were some lessons that you pulled out of that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was that despite how trivial the prayer was, and even that it was more of like a test to God, he heard me and he answered me, and he cares about even the trivial little things. And he wanted to show me that he does love me and he wants to give me good gifts, and he sees me and hears me. So. Mm.
Micah, you're a story man. You got to have some, right?
What? I do. Believe it or not. So I had this huge decision to make. I was probably 23, 24, and I was at a cross in the road, and I really didn't know what God wanted me to do. Both options seemed good to me. They both seemed valuable for the goals that I had in my life to get into ministry and to serve the Lord. And someone who would become really a life coach for me, a mentor, and a good friend encouraged me at that time, hey, get away with the Lord and just ask him. And that it sounds so trivial, right? But I was like, solo time with Jesus, I didn't know one did that. Like where you just got away over this one thing and asked the Lord to speak into it. But I did, I went away to one of my friend's house on a lake, and I took my guitar and my notebook and my Bible and a pen, and that was it. And I just asked the Lord to tell me, where do you want me to go? And he met me in that place, and he gave me an answer. And it wasn't necessary, I didn't know what to expect, let's be real. But he told me, like, you could do either, because both are good, you'll grow through both of them, and you make the decision. And so he gave me that answer, and it was so clear to me. And then a couple days later, a couple weeks later, I can't remember, he gave me this encounter of him that I've never had in my life. And I've mentioned it briefly before, where he poured his presence on me. And I'm crying, and I write a song like right after it just about his goodness, because I was just overwhelmed with his goodness. And as I look back on that, that was him affirming me as his son. Like, you're my son, Mike, and I want you to know I'm proud of you and I love you. And here's just a little bit of myself. So that you know you are on the right path and you're moving in the right direction. And that changed me. It just changed me, because I hadn't had an encounter like that prior to that.
So what value did you find in prayer and the intimacy?
Yeah, I also didn't know that you could have that level of intimacy with the Lord. Like, because growing up in a Christian home, you hear about Jesus, you hear about God and the Holy Spirit sometimes. And I didn't have that intimacy with the Lord, and I was just kind of like an outsider looking in. I wanted it, but not enough to shape my life around it, and he gave it to me. I was not asking for it. He poured himself on me, and I was like, that is unreal. It's supernatural, and it's hard to articulate because of the intimate level from which God, and so I was like, okay, if I can have that, like, I want more. And it still took me years, guys. Like, I'm a slow learner, right? It took me a long time. Like, again, each stage, God's unveiled himself to me in ways that I can experience more of him.
That's really cool.
So, Rich, as the elder statesman, I know that you have a couple insightful stories because we're friends and you've shared a few. So tell us a story about prayer.
Yeah, I got two. There's probably a whole bunch, but there's two that really stand out. And the first one is, and both are incredible. One was incredibly enlightening. The other one was incredibly humbling.
Yeah.
So the enlightening one was, I was a senior in high school, and I was not a follower of Christ yet. But I was on the wrestling team, and I had just lost match number 7 in a row. And I was having a pity party for myself, so I'm laying in bed at night, and I'm going, okay, God, why? You know, why did I lose 7 in a row? So I went to sleep, and, you know, that's in that time of life, I wasn't really expecting an answer. So I went to school the next day, and one of my teammates saw me and said, Teal, you big loser. He said, the kid you lost to lost 14 matches in a row, and he beat you. So instead of being, like, shamed, I was ecstatic, because in that instant, God answered that prayer.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a wrestling match. Like, who cares? But he cares about me.
Yeah.
So he answered that prayer, and then he showed me a little bit of himself in that. This isn't about you. I mean, this kid needed it more than I did. So it just kind of gave me a glimpse of how God works, that he may use me in a failing way to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish.
How many years ago was that?
Oh, my gosh. That was 45, 46.
And it's still with you.
Oh, yeah. I remember the kid who came up and said I wanted to punch him, but I was so happy that God answered their prayer. It was just unbelievable.
And then he didn't punch him.
Then I didn't punch him. But that was just an incredibly, God showed me himself and a little bit of himself. That was before I became a believer.
Yeah.
The next story is the humbling story. So we had 4 children, and we had decided we're done. We sell everything. And then Debbie has this urge for baby number 5. I felt no such urge. I felt, okay, 4 kids, number 5, I don't think I can handle it emotionally or financially.
Guys don't get maternal urges, if you're wondering. That's a difference.
So I said I'd pray about it. So I did. I went to God and said, you know, God, Deb wants number 5. You know where I stand on this. I'm not really sure I want number 5, but I will do whatever you want. But the attitude of my heart says, God, you know I can't handle number 5. You know I don't want number 5. But whatever you want, you know, amen. You know, and I prayed that way for like 8 months. And I didn't get an answer. And then finally, I reached the point where I said, all right, I'm going to be honest, God. I will do whatever you want. And he immediately answered. I heard that still small voice that said, it's okay. I'll be with you. So I went back to him and said, hold it. I want to make sure you heard me, right? I'm not sure I can handle number 5. And he just said again, it's okay. I will be with you. So we had baby number 5. And was it as hard as I thought it would be? Yeah. But he has walked with us every step of the way. God is good. We are all still alive. We are fine. But that was a huge lesson for me that if I am not honest in my attitude and spirit towards God, you know, he may not honor that. Now, whether he did not answer me because I wasn't being honest, or he answered and I wasn't listening because I wasn't ready to listen, I don't know that one. But those are just 2 stories that just kind of gave me a glimpse of my Heavenly Father that just opened my eyes more and more.
Yeah, that's good. So you're a practical guy.
I am a practical guy. So Micah, how do you pray? We want to get to the point now of that's the past. What are we doing now? How do you pray now? What insights can you give us on how you pray? And
yeah, great question. One thing I considered as I thought through this question was, what has kept me historically from prayer? And pretty much immediately in my spirit, 5 things rose to the surface. And I think it's probably common for most of us. The first one is busyness. I don't have time, or I got too many things to get done in order to do what I need to do. Therefore, I'm not going to make time for prayer. I think that's common. I think most people would raise their hands for that one. Number 2 is faithlessness. And that is, this isn't going to make a difference. And that's just a lack of faith, because God says very clearly throughout his word, and he gives examples that, hey, I do answer prayer. When you cry to me, and even commands it, come to me, pray to me, talk to me, and I will hear you and I will respond. But when we don't have the faith, we don't do that. And so that would be number 2. Number 3 is hopelessness. It feels like in life, especially when the weight of the world pushes down on us, we forget the weight of glory of God, and this becomes bigger than that. And then we're like, well, God, you haven't answered my prayers in the past. Why would you do it? Like, you probably don't even care about me. I think Rich isn't the only one who has pity parties when things don't go his way. I think we're all prone to that in our humanity. And so hopelessness would probably be the 3rd one that could keep you from prayer, and it certainly kept me from prayer. And 4th is distractions. I would rather do this than that. I would rather do any number of things. They could be good things. They could be bad things. But I would rather do this than spend time with God. That's common. And then 5th is it's difficult. It's like working out. Like you don't see results unless you're willing to give up food, which I'm not, and exercise and put your body through something, right? That's what it takes to get to the goals. And it's the same in prayer, same in relationships. You know, Liz and I, if I'm not willing to be vulnerable, if I'm not willing to talk to her, if I'm not willing to share things that I'm insecure about, like, we're not going to get to that next level. And it is difficult, but gold is found at the end, right? And beauty is found at the end. And so that's something that can keep us from prayer as well.
Okay, preacher, how do you pray?
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a question.
He never misses an opportunity to preach, does he?
Different seasons call for and allow for different levels of prayer, I think. That's common. So since stepping up into leadership here, I have felt my desire for intimacy drastically increase with the anointing that God put on me. And God doesn't lead us into something that he doesn't help us walk through. And the truth is, we are weak, and so God does call us to things we cannot handle. But that's the point. We have to learn to depend on him. It's not about what you can conjure up or even what your experience has lent itself to. It's about your ability to depend on God, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And that wasn't in my notes. So I spend about 15 to 30 minutes in what we could call a war room, what I call a prayer closet in my office, every couple days going through the work week. That's pretty common. And honestly, in those times, in my office space, in my prayer room with Jesus, I have received more than I ever imagined. See, he's given me healings for wounds that I forgot I had. He has shown me things that I didn't even know I needed to know. He's touched me in ways I didn't even know I needed. Just being with him and growing in intimacy and making it about him. And the more that I spend time with Jesus, the more he ministers directly to me what I need. Because what I need is different than what you need. What I need is different than what you need. I need things that sometimes I don't even know I need, and Jesus gives those to me, even in those times, those regular times in the morning. And then a few other, I pray on my way to work often. I don't put on music, I don't put on a podcast, I don't listen to a book. I try to spend time in the morning with the Lord to set me up for hearing from him throughout the day. I pray in dedicated times during the day, not every day, but often. I pray with my wife in the morning, not every morning. I pray with my boys most nights. These are just opportunities, and I'm not a prayer warrior yet. God is growing me into that, but there are times throughout my day and throughout just regular living that God's like, I want this time. And I try to pray for people when they express a need. Just stop, and instead of saying, I'll pray for you, which is really easy to say, and most of the time we don't follow through on that, just pray with someone right there. Put your hand on them and say, hey, can I pray for you? Ask them. If they're uncomfortable, they'll say no, and then you can pray for them later. But more recently, I've been learning under men who have made their lives about what you can call spiritual formation, and that's just sanctification, how to set your life up in a way that God can continually grow you in your walk with him. And so Dallas Willard and John Mark Comer, John Ortberg, and Richard Foster are all men who have written about how Jesus ordered his days. And so Jesus had 3 intense years, the most intense of his life, and he spent time getting away with the Lord. That's what I'm learning about. How did Jesus live life? Because he's the way, the truth, and the life, but he's the way. So what way did he live? Because if I live in that way, I will be set up for honoring what he calls me to do.
Can I interject?
Please.
He mentioned John Mark Comer. I just want to put another plug in. This book is so good and so helpful. And it's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And one of the, like you were saying, one of the things that's really convicted me recently, specifically in my prayer journey, is taking seriously my followership of Jesus. So we say we're followers of Jesus, but do we actually follow the things that he did? And in the way that he created me to. So one of those ways is Jesus got alone often. It says all throughout the Gospels, Jesus got alone often, usually before the sun came up, and his disciples couldn't find him. They would search for him and couldn't find him. And so that's just been something that I have I've been convicted by and been trying to implement in my life too, of just following after Jesus in that model too. So,
can you share with us?
Yes.
Can you share with us how you pray?
Yeah. So, I kind of said it before. I started writing out my prayers in college, and that kind of continued. I actually pulled out all my journals. I have a stack this high of the journals since college, which is just fun to look through and see all the things that God answered throughout the years that I've asked him. So journaling is my main way of praying. I also pray out loud sometimes, or in my heart and throughout the day, but writing out my prayers really helps me to stay focused on talking to God. And a lot of times I will read scripture and then maybe write some things that I glean from that, or just praising God and thanking him for things, just processing out things that are emotionally going on in my heart and really trying to dig deeper into even things that are struggles for me and circumstances that I can't, haven't been able to really process through yet. So writing it out really helps me. And I usually, I'm a morning person, so yeah, I get up in the morning and I try to find a quiet place in my house alone, and usually I make coffee, so I have that with me. And do you guys ever brain dump?
Brain dump?
Yeah.
What's a brain dump?
Have you heard of it? I just kind of learned this, and it's been really helpful for me. So kind of before I get started, a lot of times I have things in my head that are distracting me, and so I'll try to write as much as I can think that I, like, things I need to get done later in the day, or conversations I want to have, or anything else that might be clouding my mind to really spend intimate time with God. So I'll write all those down on a piece of paper and put it aside, and then start my time with him. And if something comes up in the middle of it, I pull the paper out, write it down, and then get back to it, just so that recently, since my kids have had a worse memory, so I don't want to forget those things. So a lot of times my mind will just hold on to it. And so having it on a piece of paper aside really has been helpful for me too. So sleep is really important. I totally understand that. And kids wake up early, and so it's really difficult to wake up and set aside specific time to pray. Obviously, there's lots of things that I could be doing, like you were talking about, just busyness and being distracted by stuff. And I completely understand the battle of having three young kids and all that. But I would just kind of urge everyone to just consider, is spending time with God more important than those things? And I've kind of determined in my walk and where I'm at that God is more important than those things, and they will get done, and my kids will be okay, and I will get an adequate amount of sleep. But a lot of times that means readjusting my schedule and going to bed a little bit earlier. Sometimes it's inconvenient, you know, and sometimes it's not very easy. Usually it's not very easy. But Jesus is worth it. Like, Jesus is worth my best. For me, that's in the mornings, and it's not perfect. Obviously, some days are better than others, and some days I want to hit the snooze. Some days I don't set my alarm to get up in the morning. But I have really seen the blessings of excuse me, regular times with him, and my attitude with my husband and my kids throughout the day has been so much better. I've been able to pray with my kids throughout the day, which has been cool to not only show them the intimacy we can have with God, but also just the practice of doing that and inviting him into everything that we do, not just the specific time we set aside to talk to God, you know. So
Let me interrupt before you go on. Have you found that as you have grown closer and more intimate with God, it is easier to get up?
Yeah, I think there's been a delight and a joy in spending that time with God. And so it's not just my determination that's getting me up in the morning, I have to set the alarm and get up, but it's been more of like, I can't wait to have this time. And so it hasn't been so much of, you know, my diligence, but my delight in that.
That makes all the difference, I think. For sure.
How about you?
Yeah, mine hasn't changed much in the 20 years since I had that revelation. So I still start my prayer. Usually I start by reading. I'll read the word. And I'll pray before I read so that, you know, I ask for God to help me understand what I'm reading. And there's no set time on how much I read or how long I read. I just kind of read until he tells me that's it. But then I'll do my praise and worship thing, and I'll worship him. And again, some days are longer than others. But that's how I connect. I make sure I make that connection, you know, praise and worship him, and then reminding myself that he loves me and cares for me. And that really gets my time going. I know I'm connected. And I don't have lists. I don't, you know, I certainly pray for my family. I'll pray for you, our church. I'll pray for, you know, a lot of different things. But I don't have a specific thing I pray for all the time. I kind of let the Lord lead me in that. Before I started working here, I would pray at home, and as I drove to work, I would use that time for meditation and prayer as well. I do that, and throughout the day now I pray.
Yeah.
I love coming over here. I walk across the parking lot, and I walk around here and I pray, and then I sit here, and I kind of envision where a lot of you sit, and I'll go around and pray for you guys. I go, oh, no, Jake sits over there, and, you know, Alan sits over there, and the Ingersolls are back there. And so it's really kind of cool. I picture where you sit, and I can pray for you.
Yeah.
And that's something I never did before until I started working here. So, yeah, the prayer time is really sweet. And there's certainly times, obviously, since last August when the transition took place, there's been a lot of prayer going on.
Yeah.
And just that reliance on God, and he does answer. I mean, it's very clear to me he answers our prayers. So I know when I go to him and it's heartfelt and we're connected and I just shut up and listen sometimes. And at times I do meditation. It's meditation. It's just talking back and forth to God. So I'll just be talking back, you know, Lord, there's a situation here. I don't know what we should do. We could do this and this. And all of a sudden you hear that still small voice in your head. And it's like, wow, you know, that one didn't come from me. That one I knew came from him.
Yeah.
And that's just quieting your heart before the Lord and listening.
That's so
good.
You got
something to say.
No, something you said really reminded me of, I was doing an Easter devotional, and this specific day, the author's talking about Matthew 26, where it says, when Jesus was at Bethany, a guest of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him as he was eating dinner and anointed him with a bottle of very expensive perfume. When the disciples saw what was happening, they were furious. That's criminal. This could have been sold for a lot and the money handed out to the poor. When Jesus realized what was going on, he intervened. Why are you giving this woman a hard time? She has just done something wonderfully significant for me. You will have the poor with you every day for the rest of your lives, but not me. When she poured this perfume on my body, what she really did was anoint me for burial. And the author goes on to say, it was a moment of true worship by a woman who couldn't possibly understand its significance. All she knew was that Jesus was worth it, worth the price, worth the sacrifice, worth being misunderstood, even by those who believe the same thing. Scholars say the perfume would have cost her a year's salary, and to those watching on, it was too much. To them, she was being extra, but they missed the point. She used their most prized possession to give worship to her most prized possession. Once you've experienced extra grace, you can't help but overflow with extra gratitude, even when it looks extra to those around you. And because she didn't weaken her worship for those that didn't understand it, Jesus defended her in front of them. So
wow.
Cool.
That's really good.
Yeah, that worship, man, that prepares you to meet with the Lord. Yeah. That is special. Thanks for reading that. Liz, Rich, you're a so what guy. You're the how to, let's make it applicable, all that. So what can everyone joining in, what can they walk away with? What's something that we can give them that will be helpful to them in their journey?
Well, I guess there's probably three things. And the first one is that prayer is not the end all to be all. I mean, it's not just prayer that's going to do it. Prayer is the tool, I think, that connects everything. You know, certainly it's a connection with God, but as we read the Bible, which we're, you know, that's one of our emphasis this year, we need to do that prayerfully. As we go out and serve, that all needs to be connected with prayer. So prayer is kind of the thing that interweaves itself through everything, but it's not the end. So don't take from this, oh, I got to go home and pray more, and then forget to read your Bible. Prayer is the thing that weaves through everything. I guess the second thing is, don't be too hard on yourself about the way you pray. If you say, well, I don't pray very good. You know, there's a few things in the Bible that, you know, that God tells us, don't pray this way. But most everything else is fine. So, I mean, you know, I really don't like it when people say, oh, that was a good prayer. It's like, we're talking to God. I mean, is it a bad prayer when we're talking to God? So don't beat yourself up if you don't think you pray really well. Just take the next steps. I mean, we have a prayer kit that we're going to ask our ushers to hand out as you leave that has some tools and some tips to help you learn how to pray better.
Yeah.
Just continue to grow and move forward, but don't beat yourself up. Oh, I don't pray for 45 minutes a day or whatever. Just keep taking those next steps. And lastly, find a way to connect to God. I mean, I think you shared in your story and you're in yours as well. My spiritual life changed when I found a connection with him, a personal connection with him.
Yeah.
So find that way. It may not be my way, it may not be your way, but find your way to make that connection with God. It is so important because from there he now begins to show you your heart, his heart. He speaks to you more. That's when we start seeing those fruits of the Spirit. When, you know, we all those, the love, joy, peace, all that starts to change in our life as we get closer to him and we begin to realize who he is and he starts showing us and changing us. It is so cool. Mm. Yeah, so those are, that's, I guess, what I would, my three suggestions. They're not deep, they're not heavy, but man, if we can just do those things, we're moving forward.
Yeah, and it's all about the next step for us. And so we did put together a prayer kit. There's a lot of resources in here. We want to serve you. We want to help you. And again, we're here to serve you, to help you. My wife, too, would love to have a conversation to share more about this. This is a short time that we have. And so conversations are helpful. And we're all in different places in the journey. And God wants us to take a step forward, every single one of us. And each of us can take a step forward, a step deeper. So we want to use the remainder of our time to just be an open forum setting. And so I know in the email it mentioned, hey, come to church ready to ask a question that you may have about prayer. Nothing's off the table. If it doesn't quite line up, we'll try to bring it back in. And some things might be a little too deep to address in this time, and we can have a talk offline later. But now is free. Please come forward, ask any questions that you have about prayer. There is no stupid question, as they say. Sometimes there is, but we won't make you feel bad about it if you ask it. So let's start there. And we're comfortable and awkward, so I'll just keep talking until you do. Good. Next.
Hey, yeah. This is not planned. I'm shocked, just like everybody else. I love to journal my prayers. Could you talk about that, like different ways to do it? I don't know, just what you guys think about it. I personally love it. I never did it. I thought it was weird until my brother Rob, like a long time ago, was like, dude, do this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, so I did it. And like I just do it so where I'm like writing as if I'm just talking to God.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It slows me down. It makes me think about what I'm actually saying. God's shown me all sorts of crazy stuff. And then I can look back and you see the answered prayers. Yeah. You see the encouragement. You see the way God has worked. It's really, really cool. And also, I write it so that when I'm long gone and my kids and grandkids find this hidden somewhere, they can look at it and be like, whoa. Like, hopefully, they'll be like, this guy really loved Jesus, and he spent a lot of time trying to prepare us for a relationship with him. So that's what I do. Maybe you can explain on that.
Yeah, so if you lost the question, it's because he's an elder, and he likes to teach, too. That's one of the qualifications. The question was, can we talk about different forms of journaling? And I would say journaling is your strong suit, if you will. So can you talk into that for a minute?
Sure. I mean, I don't have much else to add from what you said. But as you were talking, I was thinking, I also kind of sometimes I'll go through like the ACTS acronym or do something similar. So there's specific things I want to praise God for. So writing those down. Definitely there's things that I need to confess. And a lot of times it's easier to write it down. I don't know. And I do sometimes think about people finding my journal, and I get a little scared about that. But yeah, hopefully it's like they, like, yeah. But go ahead.
Well, when I first met her, she said, I would not let you read my journal.
yeah.
So that was just reminded of that. I still don't want to because most of those confessions are about me, so I'm too sensitive. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. and then, like thanking God for things. And it, again, writing out really helps me to think through and slow down my thinking because I'm not a verbal processor. So praying out loud isn't always like, I don't know, the best way for me. It's not orderly, and I like to be orderly.
Yeah.
And then supplication. So praying out prayers, like literally just asking God for things for other people that I know, things that they're struggling with or whatever, or things for our family or myself. So that's just one other thing I was thinking to add.
And I think on that, there's no set way. There are things that could be helpful to you. I journal from time to time, and mine look different. If I could draw pictures, I would. That's not off the table, but it is for me, because you know that's not a gift. So there's no set way, but anything that expresses what's in your heart, I think is the object. Good, thanks for that question. Other questions? You can come up like while we're talking too. I know you're like, you know, you might not feel that way, but I release you. Good, good, next. Someone not named Elder. Come on, Neil, my man. Be thinking, hey, if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, I'm sure you have good questions that could help those who are younger. So
you had those five
hindrances
to prayer, and a couple of them were like kind of lack of faith, lack of seeing the value in prayer, or hopelessness. If someone's in that situation, what do you say to them? How do you address that?
Yeah, that's a great question. In brief, I would say repent of valuing things more than you value God. Because at the bottom level, if you don't need to think through like what's keeping me. You don't have to think through the thought processes. I'm just telling you, if something's keeping you from God, it's something that is inherently sinful because you were made for God, and the best thing for you is God. And so if you just want to cut through and not do the fruit to root thing, just go right there and say, God, there's something in me, I don't know what it is, and I'm repenting of it. I'm owning it as sin, and I'm asking you to change my desires to be more for you. And that's ongoing. I had to do that this morning.
I think the other thing to do, the other thing I did was I like to start in Psalms. I like to read Psalms, and I just read about his faithfulness and how trustworthy he is. And that just reminds me. So when my faith is weak, I go back and I look at the scripture, and I go, well, he isn't. He's always faithful. So when my faith is lacking or I feel a little hopelessness, I like to go back to the Psalms and read through those, and that just kind of just gets me pumped up as I read about his majesty and his faithfulness. It gets me going and helps bring me back to a better place.
Yeah.
Just one other thing. There have been seasons of my life where I remember it being just more of like a darkness, or the Bible says a dark night of the soul, where I didn't feel a connection with God, but I didn't know why. And there wasn't necessarily, there might have been sin, but I didn't see it. And those times, a lot of times it was just silence with God. Like I had to get alone, and I didn't have words to say, and I just had to trust, like, God knows where I'm at. God knows my heart better than I do.
Yeah, that's really
so I want to spend time with you, God. I want to be connected with you, but I don't know what's keeping me from that. Show me. But like ultimately, like, I just trust you, and like, you know where I'm at. And just kind of sitting with him in that. And that there are some times where that's okay. Like, it's okay to be in that season of not understanding or knowing fully, and not experiencing maybe the intimacy that you have in the past or something like that.
Yeah, thanks. That's really helpful. We got another question.
Okay, so I think, Micah, you spoke about this briefly a little bit, but I love music, and I think that you do too.
Oh,
so you spoke
a
little bit about incorporating music into your prayer time, right? And you talked about how you were, you went to the lake and you took your guitar.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a neat idea that I don't think about a lot in my prayer time using worship. So the first half of my question would be how to kind of organically incorporate worship into your prayer time, but then also making your prayers still be yours instead of using, you know, because I feel like sometimes I can use lyrics to just kind of cop out of like praying.
Yeah, I'll start the answer on that. I know it was about 3 years ago, I challenged our men in our men's group to do a 2 hours worth of prayer. And part of that 2 hours is you bring some music, and you bring music that is going to kind of uplift you and connect you. And then I don't pray the words of the music, but the words of the music just start stirring in me, and that helps just refresh me, especially in their worship songs and uplifting songs. It just brings sometimes a different state of mind for me, because 2 hours in prayer is a long time, and I got to mix it up. So I'm reading the word, and I'm praying through that, and then you flip some music on, and then just something just goes, oh, man, that's really cool. And then, Lord, just it almost leads to worship, and then it may spur something to think about. So, you got to pick the right music for you that's going to help get you there.
Yeah, that's really good. Great questions. I am oriented towards music. Part of that is because I'm emotional. And so they stir my emotions. And so a few things. The first is worship isn't just what we do on Sundays, it's all of life. And we're going to go through a series in June called Worship Wars, because to worship the Lord, it is a war. There's everything against you to keep you from that place. So it is a war. And something that I have found personally helpful is having music that reorients my heart to the Lord. And so music can do that really powerfully. And if music isn't your thing, that's okay. But for some of us, it is. So praise music. Like, I have certain songs that God's used in seasons of my life, especially difficult ones, that have kept my head above water. Like, when my dad died, he gave me a song on the plane that just, it just broke me in a good way. And then a year later, almost to the day, he gave me another song to remind me, hey, I'm still with you, and this is who I am. Secondly, I love ambient music because it actually removes distractions for me. It helps me get into a zone of being able to just meet with the Lord. So I turn it up so loud. I know I have to close my door.
Yes, he does.
It bothers Rich because that bothers is too strong, but that's not his thing. It is mine. Sometimes I just grab my AirPods and I put them in. Ambient music is like no lyrics, just like beautiful melodic music in the background that is rich with instruments, and I love cello and piano and all those little more moody music. And that's a playlist I have, moody music. And it's not just Rascal Flatts, for those of you who know their music. Those two things. And I started feeling bad about having music because it's like, you know, silence. Silence is so good. So it's not every time that I have music, but it's most times because it helps me get into that place. But sometimes God tells me, like, no music today. And I'm like, okay. And I just leave it out. And I'm like, what do you want to say to me, God? And then he speaks to me. And you learn to hear his voice, and you learn to discern it from your own thoughts. You learn to discern what are his thoughts, like Rich mentioned. And it is beautiful because then you start to crave his voice because he is the most gentle father there is. And you have a great father, and I had a great father. But God, Father God, is unlike anything you've ever experienced. And when you start hearing his voice, it changes you. So I hope that answers.
It's not the ambient music that's bad. It's when you play the same song over like 40 times in a row.
I mean, if it's good, it's good. You know what I'm saying? I do it
just,
so I can't
just
get
teasing.
It done.
We love to tease each other. Terry's coming up. Another question. Good.
Great question.
We are running along. I hope you guys don't mind this, but this has been great. We enjoy this.
I know we're supposed to pray for what God's will is, for what he wants. So how do you justify like praying for what you want when you're supposed to be asking for what he wants? Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, when his will is done, what's the point of praying? Because it's going to get done anyways. So why ask for it?
Yeah, can I tackle this? So that's a loaded question, not because you meant it, but because it's deep. Two scriptures came to mind, Psalm 37:4-7. But verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So it's incumbent on us to find our delight in the Lord. There's things that keep us from delighting in the Lord. It's incumbent on us to confess them as sin and things that detract from and hinder our relationship with God. When we delight in the Lord, Terry, the desires of our heart are molded around his heart. And so he does that. That's a supernatural thing. And I know you, so I know you are actively working on delighting in the Lord. And so asking for what you want is a desire often that is something God put deep in you. And so asking for what you want is not a wrong thing. But the second text I thought of was when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, I don't want this cup. This cup of wrath, that's what that cup symbolized. God's wrath for all of humankind. Jesus is like, I don't want it. When it comes to it, I don't know that I can do it. It's definitely not what I want, but not what I want, what you want stands. And so God, I don't think, answered him. And in that answer, I think Jesus went with what they decided from the foundations of the earth. Because if God wanted to make it clear that there was another way, he could have done that. And I think Jesus was cut off well before crucifixion on the cross. I think it started happening in the garden. We have a picture of when God doesn't answer us, what do we do? And so take what you know that's clearly revealed in God's word, God's will, and do the next best thing, do the next right thing. And trust God for the outcome and say, okay, God, this must have been what you wanted. It hurts. It's not what I wanted, but it's not about me. It's about you. I hope that answers.
Yeah, what I found, too, is that the closer I get to him and the more intimate I am with him, my desires start to change. I begin to see more of him, so I desire more of what he wants. So that didn't happen a lot for, like, the first 20 years.
Yeah.
But after that, he started to change my desires more and more and more. So that my desires lined up with him, and certainly they don't line up all the time. I'm a selfish human being, but the closer I get to him, the more he changes my desires, so it fits easier.
Yeah.
I was just thinking too, like, even if you don't say out loud or write it down the things that you want in your heart, God knows that. You know, God's not
shocked, surprised.
Surprised at the things that you want, even if they are sinful. So. I found that to increase my intimacy with God, just like I would increase my intimacy with you, I'm gonna speak those things out. Like, he already knows them. So we don't, and he's not condemning. He's not gonna be harsh on you about those desires, even if they are sinful. Like, yes, he might convict you, or he might send a friend to speak truth into that situation. But I think to increase our intimacy, I think it's really healthy and helpful to just say what's on your heart.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't line up with what God says, like, it's you're human, human, and he's a good father, like you said too. Like, and he loves you. Like, he loves his children, his daughters and sons, and wants you to be real with him about those things.
Yeah.
And and he'll change your desires if they're off.
Yeah. Thanks for going deeper. I want to invite
Carol Longwell always says we're all under construction still. Yeah. So.
And if he says it, and then I agree with it. We'll just leave it there. I want to invite the worship team on up. If you guys have other questions, any question, connect with us, send us an email, send us a text. If you need my number, it's on it's in the open, and I'd love for you to have it. So so we would love to continue this conversation, and we'd love to dive deeper with you as we're all on this journey together. So